Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have found in you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take total control of this rest of the service as well and lead us into your truth. We thank you for your presence here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Clap your hands together and please be seated. Wonderful. Well, I want us to continue talking about offenses. You know, those who are offended. Hallelujah. Those who are offended. And last week, I started sharing with you about this important subject. And today, I want us to continue. And today, our subject is offense, colon, weapon of Satan. Offense, weapon of Satan. Say offense. It is the weapon of Satan. Hallelujah. So the subject is offense, colon, weapon of Satan. That means it is the definition of offense. Offense is a weapon of the adversary, the weapon of Satan. Weapon of the enemy. Amen. So offense, weapon of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. We're reading to verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And he was talking about how grief, how people cause grief in the church and how they ought to be handled, how people cause offense and how it ought to be handled and so on and so forth. And in this scripture, he says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Hallelujah. We forgive for Christ's sake. Forgive anything. And we forgive with the intention of this. To forgive with the intention that Satan can have advantage of us. If you don't forgive. He says, we forgive to avoid Satan's weapon against us. We forgive to avoid Satan taking advantage of God's people. It is a great weapon of the enemy. Offense. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Do not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Do not be ignorant of this strong weapon of Satan. Offense. To be offended. Hallelujah. So offense and unforgiveness are Satan's great weapon against the church. These are great weapons. Offense and unforgiveness. Offense will come. But when it comes with its twin brother, unforgiveness, and you harbor those two, it becomes a great weapon against you. Hallelujah. Bishop talks about an experience that the church went through. He says, once I was offended greatly by the government of my country because they attacked our church and destroyed our building illegally. This was an uprising of the enemy against churches and against corporations, and it included the church. So the government broke down the walls of the church. He says, a senior minister who advised me at that time warned me about becoming offended. Now, how many of you agree that you can easily become offended? If you are struggling in a place like this to build a church in a difficult land, a church that is up and coming, and you struggle to build a church, and then just one day they come and break down the church, you can agree with anyone who is offended that you have every right to be offended. You have every right to behave a certain way. You have every right to talk a certain way. So he says, this minister, senior minister, advised me at that time about becoming offended. He said, do not allow this to change you. If you allow hurt to grow in you, it will change you and change your message. Now, this is the key. This is the very thing that the enemy wants. It's a weapon, and its target is to change the message of God. It is intended for something. Are you listening? It is intended for something, and it comes through to you as an offense. It has nothing to do with your feelings about what has happened. It has a plan. It has a target. It is a very narrow point and a very pointy arrow targeted for a particular target, a particular spot, but it comes as an offense. Amen. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? It says it will change your message. And instead of preaching Christ, you will preach your wounds. You will preach your wounds. Anyone who is offended, when you are offended, it changes you. It changes how you talk. It changes the kinds of songs you sing. If you are a wife and you are offended at home, your worship songs change. Oh, am I saying something that is... You have certain songs that you use for worship. And your worship, are you listening? I am telling you something that is very important. Your worship now is not to praise God. It has a target. It's an arrow. And it's supposed to hit something. It's supposed to deliver a certain message. Are you listening? It's supposed to pierce something. It's not intended for God. But it's a praise worship. It's a praise song. It's a worship song. But it has some words that are not intended for God at all. That is offense. It says, if you are not careful, it will change your message and you will preach your wounds. You will preach your wounds. You don't understand the message. Some people understand the message. I think these people, they don't understand the message. So let me come to this side. They understand the message. Certain scriptures become meaningful to you. They become meaningful. When there's a message being preached, certain points are highlighted to you, and you take notes of those points because you are offended. So certain points you applaud to the message. It says, say it again. Amen. You are preaching. Give it to them. You are dialing certain numbers. You see, suddenly the message comes alive to you. Offense. And it's not intended to change. is intended for some weapons. Hurt and offense and offended people only preach and speak from their wounds and hurts. They sing from their wounds and hurts. Hallelujah. Offense changes a person almost like salvation changes a person. Now that's a serious statement. Wow. How that salvation can change you and make you a brand new person. Offense can change you and make you a totally different person because you are offended. Wow. Offense is something that happens when Satan has targeted you for destruction and elimination. It is something that happens when Satan targets you for destruction and elimination. That means when you become a target of destruction and elimination, a certain situation must come to offend you. It is the easiest way for the enemy to get you. Hallelujah. So it means whenever you are offended, a plan of destruction for your life is set in motion. Whenever you are offended, there is a plan of destruction that is set in motion. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't think that anyone will knowingly and understandingly, is there a word like that? English people, can I say something like that? Step in a path. You see, you will not intentionally and knowingly step in any path that you know is going to lead to your destruction. No one will do that. No one will do that. If you know that when I step on this belt, it's taking me to my destruction. No one will do that. Isn't that so? You will never step on any path that is intended to destroy you. But when offense comes, Satan is laying before you a belt of destruction that you can step on and it leads to your destruction. Offense is a dangerous thing. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous when a person is offended. It's a great weapon against the church. Every person must set himself in readiness to be hurt one day. Everyone. You must set your mind that one day you are going to be offended. Are you listening? Everyone, no matter how nice you are, no matter how beautiful the relationship is, Jesus says, there must needs be that offense cometh. It's necessary. If you have not been offended yet and you are happy and everything is nice and you have a free spirit, just have in mind that offense is coming. It's on the way. Offense is on the way. In fact, the people who are targeted for offense are the ones who are happy. When Satan looks at you, he says, you are too happy. You are too happy in the church. You are too lively. You seem to get along too much. You become a target of offense. And one thing about offense is that it doesn't take a large event or some big event to bring offense. If Satan targets you, it doesn't take any big event. Sometimes it can take someone just telling you something about this person. Just one sentence. He said that. Oh, really? You said he said that about me. He did. Okay. That's all. That's all. It's not a big thing. It's not a big thing. It's not a big thing. Huh? Did she really say that? That I have gained weight? Me? You see, but you know also that you have gained weight. You see, you know also that you have lost weight. Did she say that? About my hair? Eh? That my lipstick has done what? Did she say that? Did he say that? And that's all. It has changed. You see, Satan targets you because you are too happy. You are too lively. Are you listening to me? And suddenly it changes your person, like salvation changes you. Amen. So once you are offended, you have become a target. Now, if the offense remains, if the offense remains, you continue to remain offended, then the plan works like a charm. Then satanic plan has worked in you. If you will remain offended, once you are offended and you allow the offense to go on, you are setting yourself on to a destructive path. It's as if now, you see, when you are offended, the offense will come. No one can avoid that. No one can prevent you from getting offended. You cannot prevent yourself from getting offended. You cannot do anything. You cannot behave in a particular way such that you will not be offended. That I don't sing anymore. I don't dance anymore. I don't do this anymore so that I don't get. You cannot do anything to prevent you from getting offended. There must needs be that the offense cometh. It will come. Even if you are deaf, you are dumb, you don't talk, you don't speak, you can't see, you can be offended. Are you listening? Look, there's a scripture, I think it's Psalm 55. And let me find that scripture for you. Verse 12. It says, it is not an enemy who taunts me. Maybe the NIV. You have the NIV, taunt. Do you understand taunt? Okay. You say, okay, now listen. He says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. Do you understand? If an enemy, I mean, you know that someone hates you, someone doesn't like you, and you hear that that person is insulting you, you can handle that. It's understandable. Isn't that so? Jason, if you know an enemy is insulting you, you understand. Because the person doesn't like you already. He says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. It would not bother me. I can handle insults from enemies. I have tough skin for enemies' insults. If someone that I know doesn't like me at all is insulting me, I can deal with it. He says, if a foe is also an enemy, like a real enemy. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. You see, that's very easy. If you are at a place and you know that there are some people who don't like you, you know how to deal, how to handle yourself. You know, when they are there, you behave in a certain way. You don't say certain things. You know, you don't put yourself out, like they say. You don't put yourself out there. Isn't that so? Because you know they are around. You know how, when they see you, the way they behave. So he says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. It's not a problem. And if a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide myself. Now listen. He said, but it is you. Point to your neighbor and say, you. He said, the problem is not the enemy. The problem is not the people that I know do not like me. The problem is the ones that I think they love me. Like you. He said, but it is you, a man like myself. We sit and talk. We eat together. We fellowship. He says, my companion, my close friend. My close friend is now the one who is insulting me. You see, you can be among friends and say, as for these ones, they like me. They are all my friends. These are my church members. You know, these are Christians. You know, these are born again Christians. These are true people, faithful people. And I am safe. He says, that is the danger. He says, it is you, fellow Christian. He says, it is you, a man like myself, a Christian like myself, born again like myself. Hey! Tongue speaking like myself, prayerful like myself, Bible reader, quiet time doer like myself, a man like myself. He says, this is my problem. It is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friends. Then the next verse, it says, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Hey! Christian brother, Christian sister, that we have PFI together, we can all sit and we are going around and taking the food you take, I take. The same place. In fact, you cook it and I'm eating it, knowing that I am safe with you, brothers and sisters, in the house of God, fellowshipping. Wow! He said, this is my problem. Not the enemy. I can hide myself from the enemy. Because if I know this gathering is all of my enemies, I won't show up. I will not show up. That I leave my drink there and walk away, my enemies all out. I won't do that. The Bible is wild though. There are things in the Bible. You see, these behaviors in the church, they are also there. He says, it is the fellow. He says, do you have another version? Change the version. Change the version. Change the version. He said, for it is not an enemy. They don't like the scriptures, you see. He said, this isn't the neighborhood bully mocking me. I could take that. This isn't a foreign devil spitting invective. I could tune that out. It's you. We grew up together. You, my best friend. Hey, my best friend. I have sat down with you. We have gossiped. We have talked about people, about others. You know the inside story. You know about me. You know about my weaknesses. You know everything about me. I tell you everything. Now it is you. He's insulting me, sitting your son. You see, you cannot prevent that. You can't say that I am with my good friends, my best friends, and so I cannot be offended. So you are not free from offense in any environment, even amongst your best friends. Even with your wife. You say your wife is your best friend. Your husband is your best friend. We share everything together. There is nothing about me that you do not know. You know even my bank account number. secret codes that no one knows, you know. And it's you who is insulting me. You. How can I hide from my wife? How can you hide? How? How can I hide from my wife? How can I hide from my husband? How can I be so careful? And you are the one. May the Lord forgive us. Amen. So do not take the subject of offense lightly. Do not take it lightly. Amen. Offense will remove you from the race when nothing else works against you. When you are such a proper person that nothing else, nothing moves you, nothing can change you, nothing can make you withdraw, nothing can take you out of the race, nothing can take you out of the group. Offense can do that. Amen. It's such a strong weapon. Hallelujah. I say it's such a strong weapon. You may feel as though you are the one who is offended. You are the one who has been hurt. And you have a right to feel the way you are feeling. Are you listening? You have a right to say the things you are saying. You feel offended and people around you will agree with you. As Bishop was saying, he says that our church was broken down. So if he begins to say certain things, it's understandable. Offense, it will make you feel like, I deserve to talk this way. I deserve to not answer any of your phone calls. I have a right for what they have done. I have a right. And when the person is narrating to you, you will agree. You will agree that you have every right to feel the way you are. But what you do not know, it is that it's a trap to remove you from the race. It is a satanic plan to take you out of the race. It is a satanic plan to remove you from the marriage. It is a satanic plan to break your friendship. It is a satanic plan to cut off the counseling. Fine counseling. It is a satanic plan to cut you off. That you will never hear this again. Amen. You know, there are certain messages I can tell you, you'll never hear it anywhere. There are certain things you'll not hear it anywhere. But offense can cut you off from it. Offense can displace you. That is the target. So just as you feel that I have the right to talk like that, I have the right to be angry, I have the right not to show up, I have the right to not come there anymore for what they have done. You have that right. But a satanic plan to take your joy, to take your peace, to take your happiness, to break you from the fellowship. You say that I am so fine. I don't do anything against anyone. I don't do any. I have been here for a long time and I'm an established member of the church. I say offense can displace you. Offense can displace you. Amen. Offense can displace you, can take you away from a blessed church. It can take you away from a great relationship. Offense. Amen. Some of you may think you have such a wonderful marriage and you can't even think of what can possibly separate that. You look at your husband's face and say, honey, you know, sometimes I think, you know, when I see people breaking up, doing this, I think, what can possibly happen to us like that? You and I. Look, you, I. You and I. What can possibly break our relationship? Try offense. I say try offense. It turns you into a monster. It turns you into something else. It's a transformer. It transforms you. Just as salvation transforms a sinner into a child of God, offense can transform you from a child of God to a monster. Offense. It has the power. You become a monster. The things that you say. their behavior, disrespect, offense. So do not also think you cannot be taken down by any of the enemy's tricks. Satan's mature plan against you is to make you offended. That is a mature plan. He has played it over and over and over. Bishop talks about the story here. Listen to this. He says, once I read a story about Satan's plan to destroy some Christians. In the story, Satan was getting rid of some outdated tricks and outdated items and gadgets and equipment. You know, Satan has several equipment that he uses against us. And so there are some, as he was going through, as he about to attack this church, he's going through the gadgets that he's going to use. So he went through his archives and then he deleted some. He put them on sale. He says, indeed, Satan wanted to raise some funds to finance his campaign. The equipment on sale, the one that he reduced the price. Are you listening? The weapons that he reduced the price, the gadgets that he dropped the prices were alcoholism. You know, that one we can say, and say, oh, alcoholism. They can just, you know. Drug addiction. Depravities, incest, witchcraft, and lying. He says, these ones, I can really get rid of them. These ones, he puts on sale. You can buy one, they give you 5 free, actually. Like 50% off plus extra 60% off. That's the one you like. Take that. However, there were 2 items which were not on sale at all. You know, you want to know who those items are? How many of you want to know who those items are? There were 2 items. And so those items is offense and fornication. Offense and fornication. And I add adultery. Offense and fornication. So someone asked Satan, why he was not selling those? Why are those 2 not on sale? Why are you not selling them? You want to know what his answer was? Satan answered that those 2 gadgets were his best items. He said they never go on sale. They are high demand. They never go on sale. He always had 100% success whenever he used these items, offense and fornication. Fornication. Easily it works amongst them. He says, no matter how outdated and frivolous they seem, they always worked. They always worked. Offense and fornication. He says, no matter how outdated, they always worked. Satan explained that these pieces of equipment, these 2, offense and fornication, were of international quality. That means it works amongst every nation. They are of international quality, international demand. It works in every nation. It works in Asia. It works in Europe. It works in Africa. It works everywhere. It says they are of international quality and works irrespective of country, irrespective of race. It works among blacks, it works among whites, it works among all kinds of people. Offense and fornication. Dangerous weapons. I tell you, dangerous weapons. Whenever you are faced with them, you are about to be eliminated. It works. It works amongst all tribes. It works among every kind of color, every language. It works among the young, the old. It works among women. It works among men. No, are you going to put that on sale? That's why the scripture says in Matthew 18 and verse 7, Jesus said, says, woe unto the world. He said, trouble to the world. Trouble to the world because of offense. Trouble. Woe to the world. You know, woe is like you can't find a word to describe the pathetic situation, the horribleness of the situation, and the terribleness of the situation. It says, woe to the world, sorry to the world, because of offenses. For it must needs be that offense comes. You can't prevent it. Among the worshippers, among the Christians, you can't prevent it. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Amen. Offense is guaranteed to appear in your life at some point in time. If it's not today, it's coming. It is coming at some point in time. You are going to be offended, young and old. You are going to be offended. Something is going to hurt you. Something is going to be painful. Amen. Offense works well on those who have survived other attacks. So even if you have survived before, it doesn't mean that you are prone, offense prone. You may say that, this I have seen some before. But then he brings another one. You see, this one, he didn't greet me. This I've seen some before. There are many times that I've come that they've seen me, they didn't. But then there is that one also, when they were serving the food part, that one is coming. The way they disgrace me, the way they embarrass me, that one is also coming. Hey. They treated me like a child. I brought the food, and when I came back, everything was gone. My food was still sitting there. No one touched my food. No one touched my food. Now, when next time you say in your heart, next time let them come and ask me to cook again. You come and then you see your food, you take it like this and then you put it in the garbage. And then as you are walking, next time let them come and ask me. We are all here. Sometimes you bring the food and then you see as they're dishing out, you are watching your food. And then when the people sit down, you are looking at their faces. When this one takes some of your food. And sometimes they don't know that you are standing there. You say, who cooked this? Who made this? And then you see this one takes it, he dumps it, he goes to get another one. This one also takes it, he dumps it. Offense, eh? You see, you say, I am nice. I am just trying to be a part of it. I tried. But sometimes it's not you. It's not you. Sometimes it's not you. It's not that you didn't cook well. But when Satan sees that you were too lively, when they ask you to cook, the way you volunteered and made the thing so easy, and it's like you are flowing and you are making it happening, and then you are working it, you struggled all afternoon, all evening, cooked it and you brought it, and then you came and then you put it down. And then he comes and then he put a little virus underneath it. And as we are sitting here with the heat, the virus starts building underneath. And building underneath. Change the whole taste of the thing that you brought. Because you are targeted. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to be offended. Not that you didn't cook well. But the way it sat there, not in the fridge for a while, it gave him the opportunity to make it change taste. And from that time on, he said, me, my cooking, and this church, never. Again, you do this, never again. You understand what that means? You don't understand. When somebody does this, never. That means never, ever again. Even if the reverend tells me, these people, offense is a dangerous thing. And it's targeted to destroy you. It is targeted to break the marriage. It is targeted to destroy you. Amen. Offense is a dangerous thing. I say offense is a dangerous thing. Tell your neighbor, offense is a dangerous thing. So we must learn. We must learn about satanic devices, about his plans. When we see offense coming, we must learn that it is targeted for something else. It sounds like it's just about food. It's just about this. It's just about greeting. It's just about he didn't see me or she didn't see me. Or it's just about that. But it's targeted for something big. And it's to destroy you. Offense is the number one destroyer of peaceful relationship. And happiness is offense. Because when you are offended, it changes you. It changes your mood. It changes your joy, your peace amongst the group, amongst the people, in the relationship with your friend. It changes. Everything changes. And that is the satanic plan to destroy the church. Many people who have left churches, many people who have separated themselves from churches, is a result of offense. A result of offense. Amen. May you never be a target of this wicked weapon. May you never be a target to prematurely take you out of your relationship. May you never be a target of destroying your joy and your peace with this satanic offense plan. Amen. Let me read one last scripture and then we can close. I think it's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. You can read the King James. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won. I'm showing you a great revelation here. A brother offended is harder to be won. What it means is that when you are offended, it's very hard for us to win you back. A brother that is offended, if the brother does not heal from that offense, it's very hard to win that brother back. So it is your responsibility. The bringing back lies on you. It's very hard to bring you back if you do not heal, if you do not forgive. Are you listening to me? He says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Than a strong city. That means that, I mean, when the Bible talks about city, it's talking about like a nation. Like a nation that is fortified. That means that, to, for instance, attacking United States. Like attacking United States and taking over United States is easier than a friend that is offended to win back. This is the Bible. So it means that when you are offended, the only way to bring you back is that you, yourself, you decide that I am healed from this offense. Otherwise, it will be very hard to bring you back. He says the next one, he says, and their contentions, their anger towards you, their offense, the repercussions of the offense, their contentions, what they hold against you, they are like the bars of a castle. You can't break through. Do you know the bars of a castle? The way they protect castles, that is how your contentions are. You can't break through. So in order to win you back, it depends on you. In order for you to come back to the marriage, it depends on you. It means that it's harder. No counseling. No repairs. We cannot repair the damage enough to bring you back, except that you heal from the offense. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? That is how you come back.
So whenever you are offended, heal quickly.
Otherwise, there are certain stages that we're going to go through, and we will continue that stages of offense. Stages that you go through when you are offended. Withdrawal state, resentment, and hatred. We go through mistrust, malice, and ill will. Stubbornness, treachery, and betrayal, and demonization. We will go through that next time we meet. Clap your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your word and this revelation, great revelation of the enemy's old weapon that has worked for so long. Lord, thank you for revealing this to us. Lord, thank you that you give us the strength to be vigilant, that not be ignorant of the devices of the adversary. It says the adversary, he goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But we pray, Lord, that we be vigilant and be sober, that we know when these weapons are raised against us. Holy Spirit, give us that inner strength to withstand, the grace to forgive in the name of Jesus. When we are offended, give us that grace to overcome it and to forgive and to forget. We are thankful, we are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You are not born again. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to give my life to Christ. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior. I want you to lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? You say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? You are here. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that is you also, lift up your hands and I'll pray with you wherever you are. Lift up your hands. I see your hand. Sister, God bless you. I want you to just take one bold step and just come here with me. Just take one bold step. Come here with me. I want to just pray with you. Just take that bold step. Can somebody help her? Come forward. Come here. Let me pray with you. Is anyone else? You want to give your life to Christ? You want to give your life to Christ? Come forward. I'll pray with you. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Master. So lift up your right hand with me. And I want you to say this prayer after me. And I want the rest of the church to join and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Dying for me. I believe you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Master. Be my Savior. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.